Hello, I'm Jonathan Peters, and I am reading from Geoffrey Eugenides' Middlesex, pages 490 to 92. I consider this one of the most interesting passages from what turned out to be, for me at least, the most exciting novel of the short 21st century, no hyperbole intended. I chose this passage because Eugenides is able to cram so many themes into so little. Greek myth, adolescence, anger, rage, and of course, Calliope's burgeoning gender crisis. I will first look at some of the most obvious ideas I got out of the passage. I sense Cal's deepening frustration, surrounded by men who pay to look at her exposed, hermaphroditic body. She must feel more specimen than an actual human being. She tells us, faces filled the portholes, gazing with amazement, curiosity, disgust, desire. To be exposed must be awful. She has spent much of her adolescence staying out of the water. In the school locker room, she never enters the shower and avoids the water. To take the plunge in front of people must be shocking. Even her first sexual experience, which took place in a giant bathtub, was marked by the horror of her grandfather Lefty's stroke. These are not good associations. Yet she writes, "I pretended I was in the bathtub on Middlesex." We imagine she means with the door firmly closed. Another point about those faces. They are all men. She drinks and drugs to make the men less real, less noticeable. Cal's co-worker Zora had attracted the worst guys, the varsity stooges, the herpetic section leaders. These are bad men all around. Yet Cal has just come out as a man, but to Zora still, not a real man at all, she finally says to her. What does that mean for Cal? Must she feel pretty confused about her in-between state at this point in the book? What do you think? But most importantly for Cal, according to the passage, Zora didn't treat me like a kid. She let me keep my own hours. She asked me to help out with the rent. This is growing up for Cal, a true course of self-determination, often overlooked in a book about sexual maturity, but also about other forms of maturity. How else is Callie growing up? I think the most interesting image for me in this passage, though, is Callie's water show. As the announcer intones the story of Hermaphroditus, Callie takes the dive into the pool. I found this an exciting way to physically meld the contemporary with the classical. Ovid becomes sex club floor show. Is this myth within a story, Brian McHale's world within world model? In the Bomb magazine interview, Eugenides talks about this book's hybrid quality. He says, "The book only reflects my genetic makeup, part Greek, part Irish. Just like Barth uses 1001 Nights, Eugenides uses the great Greek works, like Odyssey and Metamorphosis, to inform the text. My question, where is the Irish part?" But the references do not stop at Ovid. In this passage are Gary Snyder, Kate Chopin, San Francisco, the modern, the classical, and the contemporary. Like Sophia brought up about Barth, these postmodern writers are content to weave many references into their novels. There's a great beauty in these crafty references, as Cal reads the work in Zora's apartment and learns from them. She also learns about herself. She grows strength through knowledge. She learns from Zora, who is also writing a book and another hermaphrodite, that she is not a freak. She's just another person. But she writes, "I never felt sisterly around Zora." What do you think about that line? Why did Cal not feel that way? Finally, let me also mention postmodernism. How is Eugenides a postmodernist? I feel that, unlike On With the Story, Eugenides gets that awareness that Barth talks about in The Literature of Replenishment, a fiction more democratic in its appeal than what Barth calls late modernism. Or as Green writes about that essay, Barth looks for a notion of culture's consensus as that area of activity that might speak to and perhaps even resolve divisions of class and access to knowledge. I think Eugenides gets that. You do not need to have been an academic who belongs to Club Med to like this story, simply to go through adolescence. Still, Cal is a remarkably unidentifiable character. Not many people are hermaphrodites. So how does the book fulfill its postmodern mission? My question. I saw it also in Cal's new gender awareness, what Umberto Eco calls transworld identity. This is from Brian McHale's essays. There are two worlds within Cal, one male and one female. Was her femininity simply a good fiction then? How is Callie's perspective ontological? Which worlds does she move through? Male and female, a daughter and a son, the city and the suburbs, San Francisco and Detroit, for example? For me, it is still unclear. I handily look forward to our discussion very much to figure out what the class thinks.